Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
Well, if you'd like to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 3 and verse 17. That's what I love to hear. Acts chapter 3. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been sent and appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he had promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people." I'm just going to keep reading for a moment. "Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many have spoken, have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, though through your offspring all the peoples of the on earth will be blessed. And when God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." Thanks for your word, Lord. As you know, in 2014, our theme here at Bayside Church is refresh. Refresh. What a great theme. I think one of our goals this year is to bring refreshment in all that we do, knowing that as we refresh others, we in turn ourselves will be refreshed. Well, see, here we've just read from Acts chapter 3, verse 17. And we've focused on verse 19, though. I want to take a few moments to just talk to you this evening about, you know, I just open the word a little bit to look about what brings refreshing to your life. How do we get refreshed? And I've been studying this for a couple of weeks now. I've just been looking at certain things. And I got to this particular passage. "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing could come upon you." Repent, turn to God, your sins will be wiped out, and that times of refreshing can come from the Lord. That's interesting stuff. Because I don't know about you, but a lot of the times when we use the word refresh or refreshing, we get a picture of what? Resting. Holidays. Cruise boats. Sitting on the beach. Pina coladas. I don't know about you, but is it just me? We hear this term refresh or refreshing, and our mind goes to all of that sort of thing. But the reality is, in all of this thinking about refreshing, it's all passive. That's all passive. That's all self-indulgent in some respects. But if I understand Scripture, and I've looked at this subject of spiritual refreshing, I'm picking up the theme that spiritual refreshing is not a passive thing at all. Spiritual refreshing, in my opinion, is not about floating down God's river on your lilo or your inflatable tube or even your canoe, waiting for God to do everything for you. That's not spiritual refreshing at all. The Lord knows. You know, from my study of Scripture, I've learned that true spiritual refreshing is active. In order to partake of true spiritual refreshing, we are required to intentionally, actively pursue our relationship with God. It's an intentional choice. It's active. It's not passive. You see, we must engage. You see, we all know that for any relationship to work, we must work at them. And and in our life, I don't know about you, but I'm married. I can say things tonight because she's not here. But it's okay, it is recorded and she will hear, and there's about 25 people in this room that will have great pleasure in telling her anyway. Just to inflict pain on yours truly. But I know, Robin and I will have been married 30 years this year. It's not a bad thing. And I know many of you saying you can't be that old, but it's okay. Thank you. But there's, I've known in our relationship that in order for our relationship to function, it takes a lot of active and intentional effort to make that thing work and to continually make it work. Yep, the Lord plays a huge part in that, but if I didn't work at it, I know it would fall over. And for us to be fully fulfilled inside, and fully partake of spiritual refreshing, we need to work at it. It cannot be passive. It needs to be active. Needs to be active. You see, how many of us know and understand that when we make a decision to engage the Lord this way and choose to live a life that is spiritually refreshed, it's always going to be active. It's not going to be passive. I've never known God to be passive in my life at all. I've been a Christian for a long time now, 30-odd years, and I know that the Lord's never dealt with me passively. It's always been very actively. And that's a great thing because it's kept me, I believe, on the cutting edge of where the Lord wants me. Because I have intentionally engaged God. I have intentionally gone after Him. I have intentionally made choices that takes me down that path. But what are the things that bring refreshing? That's a great question. And here's just a few principles. Now, there's probably dozens of others, but I've just got the time to bring a few to you tonight. So let's just have a look. The first thing is God's rest brings refreshing. God's rest. You see, the Lord Himself provides for us rest. I love what it says in Exodus. It says this: the Lord Himself provided rest for us. 6 days to do your work, but on the seventh day, do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, so that the slave born into your household and the foreigner living among you may be refreshed. The Sabbath. In the very beginning, God introduced the Sabbath rest for all His people. The basis was established right at the beginning in creation in Genesis in the first 2 chapters. We all know that God created the universe and the earth in 6 days. And on the seventh day, He did what? He rested. In the Jewish world, the Shabbat or the Sabbath is one of the best known but yet least understood Jewish observances. Because the Sabbath, or keeping the Sabbath, was actually very high on God's agenda. In actual fact, it was number 4 in the commandments to keep the Sabbath. It's very high in God's agenda, the principle of taking a day to rest. Now, in our Western mindset, though, we think that's, 7 out of 6, the seventh day of the week, we need to rest. And we think that means just not doing anything. But that's so far away from the Jewish mindset of the Sabbath. Because let me tell you, the Sabbath for the Jewish world is actually quite busy. It's a busy time every week. You see, the Jews are commanded to remember their Shabbat or their Sabbath, but remembering means much more than merely just not forgetting to observe it, but it also means that to remember the significance of the Sabbath, both as a commemoration of creation, but also as a commemoration of being slaves in Egypt. So in actual fact, it's a celebration of their freedom. Their freedom. You see, I've had discussions about this with a couple of rabbis and quite a number of people. Because this particular passage in Exodus, I'm saying, what has the Sabbath really got anything to do with the Exodus? And they've encouraged me. They said, you see, the Exodus, it has a lot to do with resting on the seventh day because it's all about our freedom. See, as I said before, in ancient times, you see, leisure was confined to certain classes. Slaves didn't get days off. Thus, by resting on the Sabbath, we were reminded that we are free. We're not in bondage, we're free people. You see, back in the days when they were in captivity, the Egyptians thought they were all lazy because they needed a holiday every 7 days. But they realized that while doing that, by celebrating the Sabbath and by keeping it holy, they're reminding themselves that God created the universe, but they're also reminding themselves that they are free. That they're not bound by slavery. In more general sense, the Sabbath frees us from our weekly concerns, from our deadlines and schedules and commitments. And during the week, we are slaves to our jobs and to our creditors, to provide ourselves for ourselves and to meet our needs of our families. We are slaves to that in some respects. But yet, if we keep God's understanding of a Sabbath, we remind ourselves that we are free. We are free from all of those things. And that we belong to the Lord. You see, we are free from those concerns as much as the Jewish ancestors were free from being in bondage as a result of their keeping the Sabbath. You see, for a Jewish family that practice and adheres to the Sabbath requirements, in no means are they doing nothing for the day. Let me tell you. In fact, the day actually starts on Friday night. They all leave work at 3. If you actually know a Jewish person that keeps the Sabbath, you'll know they leave work at about 3 o'clock on a Friday because they've got to get everything ready. Because, you see, for them, the Sabbath starts when the sun goes down on Friday. So before the Sabbath, they've got to ensure that all the work is done, having the food simmering, or they've got to plan a cold dinner. In summer, they usually do that. They light candles with a blessing. The Sabbath candles. And they pray a prayer for that. Washing their hands and saying a blessing over special bread. They say a blessing over the wine and the grape juice. They pray. They sing songs of joy. Husbands praise their wives. Children are blessed. And they have a celebratory meal. Then they go to service. They go to the synagogue for a 45-minute quick service. And anyone that understands Jewish ceremonies, you'll understand 45 minutes is real quick. So they'll study the Torah, they'll pray, they'll do all those things, and then they'll go to the synagogue. They'll also rest, they don't work, they walk to the synagogue, they conduct no business, carry no money, they're not allowed to turn on lights or switch off lights. Everything's done by timers. And it's really funny because if the timers break down, then they can't actually function. They're doing it in the dark because they can't switch on a light. Saturday, they get up, they study the Torah, they go to synagogue again. This is time it's really long. Then they have another big lunch together. But they also pray, they also spend time with the family, and they, a lot of them just have their afternoon sleep. Not unlike our Sunday afternoon snoozers. Amen. And you know what? The Sabbath doesn't finish until the sun goes down and they can see at least three stars in the sky. I said, what happens if it's cloudy? This rabbi looked at me and said, don't be stupid. I said, okay. He said, everyone knows it's half an hour after the sun goes down. I said, okay. The bit thing that you just gave me says we've got to see three stars, so it's okay, I get it. 30 minutes after sundown, it's the end. But you see, we've got this thinking that, you know, on the seventh day, we all rest and don't do nothing. Listen to me, godly people seek the Lord on that day. It's set aside for them to be spiritually refreshed. How do we keep our Sabbath? Just thought I'd throw that out there. You see, God has given us all rest that we might press into Him. It's not a passive, but it's an active choice to fellowship with Him and our Christian family. Rest and be refreshed as you spend time with Him. The second way we become or we get refreshed is God's Word brings refreshing. God's Word brings refreshing. You see, spiritual refreshing comes when we submit ourselves to the study of the Word of God. Again, it's not passive. Psalm 19, verse 7 reads that the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. You see, the law of God is perfect. It refreshes our soul. It restores us. It renews us. It does a work in your life. The Word of God itself refreshes you. You see, if you have lived a life of faith for any length of time at all, you actually understand this principle about how the Word of God will sustain you and that you need the Word of God in your life. If you've had that life of faith, you'll know that, the importance of spending time in the Word. You see, the law of the Lord is perfect. It refreshes the soul. It's not a passive thing. How's your soap going? Some people are looking at you, go, soap? What's soap? Everyone, let's go. What does soap stand for? S stands for? O stands for? A stands for? Application. P stands for? How's that going for you? Do you do it daily? Do you need a reading plan? Because if you go to the Bayside website, you'll get one. If you need one, we can get one printed for you. Just talk to anybody. You need to be in the Word of God because it will refresh you. It's not passive. Don't ever get this thinking that we're in a season of refreshing. We're going to be refreshed. So that means we can just sit on our Holy Spirit deck chair. And we can float down the river. I love the river of God, but you know what? I've learned one thing about rivers. They're for crossing. You get wet and you get out on the other side. And you get active. Because, see, it's not passive. It's active. Refreshing is active. Because I am most refreshed when I'm spending time with the Lord, I'm in His Word, and I'm in His presence. I'm most refreshed. I don't know if that's your experience, but it definitely is mine. When I'm getting tired and weary, it's because I'm ignoring certain things that I should put more effort into. The third reason, or the third way that we become refreshed, is God's presence. God's presence brings refreshing. Nothing refreshes more than engaging the Lord and spending time in His presence. In Psalm 73, verse 25 to 28 in the Message, it says, "You're all I want in heaven. You're all I want on earth. When my skin sags and my bones get brittle, God is rock firm and faithful. Look, those who left you are falling apart. Deserters, they'll never be heard of again. But I'm in the very presence of God. And oh, how refreshing it is. I've made the Lord my home. God, I'm telling the world what you do. I'm going to tell the world because I've made the Lord my home. His presence refreshes me. It restores me. It renews me." You see, I just told you that I'd just come back from Darwin and WA. Well, I was on tour with a pastor from Eritrea, and his name's Bieni. And I love Bieni. I'm very good friends with him outside of my work commitments. He's pioneering an Ethiopian and Eritrean church in Sunshine. So he's Melbourne-based. So I catch up with him a bit. And he spent 9.5 months in a dungeon underground. And in his cell, this cave thing, there was something like 60 to 70 other prisoners. They just pushed them in. There was no room. You see, they do it to humiliate and to get them. Most of them are political prisoners. There's a good percentage of them are Christians. And they'll lock them up in Eritrea until they confess that they will not follow Jesus anymore, sign the piece of paper, and then they'll get let go. So he spent 9.5 months in this prison. And I just listened to him tell his story, you know, about over 15 meetings as we traveled. And he said, as part of his session, he said, "If you try to work it out logically in your brain, why is this happening to me?" He said, "You'll go nuts. You'll just do your head in. You cannot discern this practically or logically. What's going on to me has to be discerned spiritually. I must see it through spiritual eyes. If I don't see it through spiritual eyes, I'm going to fall. The devil will get me." I said, "So what we used to do in this dungeon, we used to get all the Christians together and we used to pray. And this is the testimony of every persecuted Christian that I've ever met. And I've met a few. And the one thing that they'll tell you is that when they pray, the presence of God, the supernatural grace of God is tangible. They feel it. They could be injured from being beaten. They could be, you know, have incredible issues going on in their body. But as they pray, they go, oh, oh." Gives us the power. Gives us the strength. Gives us the courage. Gives us all of this. And in Bieni speak, he goes, "Oh, Brother Jim. Oh, my brother." He said, "The presence of God." He said, "There is nothing like it." You see, the presence of God refreshes you. As you spend time in His presence, it will refresh you. It will do a new work in you. In Hosea chapter 14 and verse 5 in the NLT, it says this, "I will be to Israel like a refreshing dew from heaven. Israel will blossom like the lily. It will send roots deep into the soil like cedars of Lebanon." Again, the principle of spiritual refreshing coming as we spend time in God's presence is not a passive thing. It's an active thing. It's active. You're getting a theme here? The fourth thing, how do we get the presence of God going? Well, the fourth thing I've got here is that God's provision brings refreshing. You see, as we vigorously pursue the Lord, entering in His rest, spending time in His Word and in His presence, His provision for us is refreshing. In Jeremiah 31, verse 14, in the Holman Christian Standard Bible, it says, "I will refresh the priest with abundance, and my people will be satisfied with my goodness." This is the Lord's declaration. You see, provision from the Lord is refreshing. The Lord will provide for you as you spend time with Him, as you spend time in His Word. The Lord will provide, and it will bring great refreshing to your life and to your spirit as you just submit yourself to that. Number five, this is, I think, the final one I think I've got, is unity brings refreshing. See, the Lord's promise to us as we live in unity and harmony with each other is refreshing. Psalm 133, again in the New Living Translation, is only three verses, but how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony or unity. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony or unity is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. There the Lord pronounced His blessing, even life everlasting. Life everlasting. How do you live in unity? How do you live in harmony with each other? It's through relationship. How do we develop and maintain our relationships? I said this earlier. How do you develop and maintain a relationship? It's really simple. You work at it. Again, it's not passive, it's active. We need to be working at this all the time. You see, I know of no other way. All I know is that God honors unity and rewards it with refreshing. If the band could come, that would be great. You see, we read in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Repent, turn to God, get your sins wiped out so that times of refreshing can come from the Lord. That's a pretty simple formula. Is your life in turmoil? Then you need to repent and turn to God. And the promise is that times of refreshing can come from the Lord to you. Sometimes it's just a matter of taking stock and turning to the Lord. Say, "God, I'm sorry." And allow His refreshing to come onto your life. What separates us sometimes from the Lord is our life gets into a bit of mess. And what we do is we allow the pride of life to keep us from turning to the One who can refresh, restore, and renew. If we'd only just lay down our pride and say, "Oh God, I'm sorry. Help me. Help me. Help me. I know the Lord never lets us fail. The scripture says the steps of a good man are ordered by Him. And though he fall," in other words, he gets it wrong, he falls down, he messes up. But you know what? I'm there. steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he falls, he will not be cast down. For the Lord, what? Upholds him. Lifts him up. The psalmist wrote, he lifted me up from the miry clay and set my foot upon a rock. The Lord is able to restore, renew, and do a work in your life. It just needs you to say, I'm sorry. Lord, help me. Help me. If you need refreshing tonight, if you're a little bit dry on the inside, if you're a little bit, you know, just, I'm just struggling just that little bit, well, I've got some news for you. Get active. Get active. Don't sit back and wait. A year of refreshing, a year of refresh is not a holiday. We're still about searching and rescuing. We're still about seeking the face of God. We're still about renewing and restoring. Man, we're not sitting back. We're engaging. When Pastor Rob got up here and called us to a year of refreshing, I said, wow, that's a year of action. That's a year of God's people stirring up within themselves their passion, stirring up within themselves the calling of their God, stirring up within themselves the reason that God put us on the planet, stirring up within ourselves to be the church, no matter where we are. Don't sit back. Don't have a year off. Rather, it's a year when we take time to rest in God and actively choose to spend time in His Word and His presence. It's a year to invest in relationships, both developing new ones and enriching old ones. It's a time of refreshing. But it's active. It's not passive. Tonight, why don't we all make a commitment to be refreshed? Why don't we all do that? But before we do that, every head bowed, every eye closed right now. You might be in this meeting tonight, and you might be saying, Lord, you know, I'm struggling. I'm struggling. Jim, I'm struggling. I'm not in a good space. And I'm the only one looking around. I'd like every head to bow right now, because I really want people to respond to the Lord that need to. As I was praying this week, I really felt a call. You know, I just really felt there are people in this room tonight that I need to challenge you to. I really believe the Holy Spirit wants to challenge you to be honest. And you just need to lower your pride, and you need to say, I'm sorry. And allow God to refresh you. Repent. Turn to God so that times of refreshing can come upon you. You don't have to face this mountain alone. If that's you, then just quickly put up your hand so I can see it. Wait till I see it. You know that's you. You know, say, yeah, thanks. Thank you. Who else? Who else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Looking to my right at the moment. I'm coming back into the middle. So thank you, thank you. Who else? Say, yeah, that's me. Thank you. I'm now over on my left. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. There's a few people. There's quite a number of people. So, Father, why don't we all stand together? Why don't we all stand together? And if you raised your hand, why don't you just pray this prayer with me, and we're all going to pray it together. Father, tonight, I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. And forgive me of my attitude. And I ask you tonight to come into my heart in a fresh way. Get a hold of my life in a fresh way. Holy Spirit, I ask to fill me afresh tonight. Cause me to stand for you. Strengthen me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you need refreshing tonight, you're a bit dry, and you've heard this theme being preached, refresh. Oh, that's what I need. Then I wanted you to be challenged to get active. Spend more time in God's Word. Spend more time in His presence. Engage in relationships. Engage in your relationship with God. Intentionally go after it. In other words, what I mean by intentionally, you make a choice. You make a decision to do it. It's not just waiting for something to happen. You intentionally make a decision to be refreshed. I want to challenge you to do that tonight. I want to challenge you to do that. So tonight, if that's you, and what I want you to do is just raise both hands to the Lord and say, God, because I'm just going to pray a prayer. Because that's me. I prayed this week. I said, Lord, that's me. Because as I was doing this study, the Lord was convicting me. And I'm saying, God, this is talking to me. I'm the preacher. Gosh, Holy Spirit's doing a work in me. If that's you, just raise your hands right up. Right up. Father, you see all of these hands raised. And Lord, I thank you for each and every one of them. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and do a work in all of them. Lord, I pray for whatever reason and whatever their circumstances and situations that you would challenge them. Lord, I pray that they would break through. Lord, that they would have a breakthrough in their devotional life. Lord, that they would have a breakthrough as they get more into your word. And Lord, I pray that as they spend time with your in your presence, that Lord, you would refresh them as your word promises. So Father, tonight, use us, we pray, that we might refresh others so that ourselves might be refreshed. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.